From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
Here we are, the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, Big Blue Roundtable Pro Day episode. And, you know, we have a lot of things going on in sports, NBA, NHL, college basketball, men and women's. It's a lot going on. Normally, they would not have college basketball, the Elite Eight, on a Monday. It usually used to be a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday format the first 2 weeks of the tournament in March. They kind of switched things up, pushing things back a day later. So it's kind of throwing me off, trying to keep up with all this stuff. And now with the baseball coming back, so we said, okay, Yankee season opener, we're going to switch with the football. Football is going to go to Monday. Monday, we're going to put the baseball for the season opener versus the Jays after the game. Shout-outs to the baseball people on that platform as we will discuss reactions to the season opener. Versus the Blue Jays, different because we haven't done one in 2 years in the sense of last year. Our season opener was later in the year because of what happened with COVID and how things got pushed back with MLB and that condensed season in 2020. However, we're here for the football. We're here for the Big Blue Roundtable. We're here for the Giants. And this is almost a continuation of the from the last episode we had. And definitely get perspective on the acquisitions. Matter of fact, I have written, what is this question? I wrote them down. I wrote down two questions to really ask stakeholders, ask Giant fans on this episode to say, hey, you know, up until this point, what letter grade would you give the Giants in free agency period up until this point? What did you like? What you did not like? And also areas of improvement for the Big Blue. So you can take that. We can see it, take it, run with it. Since the last episode, the Giants went on and signed Kenny Golladay to the Giants. I think we already had Ross at the time. We talked about Kyle Rudolph at the time. I think we did not have Danny Shelton and Reggie Ragland at the time. So those were additional acquisitions to the Big Blue. I guess you could call it a big signing. A lot of Giant fans on social media has been calling it that. I thought it was a signing nonetheless. Dory Jackson from the Tennessee Titans, who had a pretty decent season at USC back in the day. I almost forgot he was in the league because I had to scratch my head. I'm like, wait a minute, I haven't seen Dory Jackson play at much this year, so I had to go back and where was he? So I guess he had an injury-riddled season in Tennessee. I watched some Tennessee football, Tennessee Titans football, and I guess him being out and the Giants are going to take a gamble on picking him back up with that contract. Hopefully he can stay healthy and put him opposite of James Bradbury. I think that's what they're banking on, man. Nonetheless, let's talk about it. Let's get right into it. Let's have a back and forth. The guys get on. We'll discuss it. Shout-outs to all the stakeholders. And one more thing, let me say this. I want to say thank you to people listening to our platform, listening to our perspective, listening to sharing the shows as well. So people like Lit, people like, Manny, Carl, Kristen when they come on, Elaine, like not even just the football, across the board, all the basketball, the hockey, the fact that people like what we do, agree or disagree with the points, no problem there. But the fact that people are letting other people know that this platform is here for everyday fans like myself and everybody else who comes on to speak with us, love the fact, respect, and that's all we ask for, share, man. Thank you very much for sharing. And also, we'll see what everybody else thinks on this free agency stuff, right? It's been a little – I think most fans have been happy, but definitely want to hear – from the stakeholders on this. Let's get Carl, what up, man? How you doing? Bring you on. Let's talk about this, man. Carl, let me ask you this, man. Let's give the Giants a letter grade. I think I know what you might say, but for the people, we could go signing by signing, what you like, what you don't like, what we can add to what the Giants need. And oh, that reminds me one more thing. One more thing. The stakeholder draft, one of my favorite episodes of all the platforms. We're going to be back in 2 weeks for that full round draft. That would be what day would that be? That would be April the 15th. Wow. April the 15th, a full stakeholder mind draft. That might be an hour and a half episode alone. We will not get through that thing in 60 minutes. We'll have to make it a 90-minute episode. Carl, what's going on, man? How you doing, sir? How's everything?
A pleasant good evening. A little unusual on this Monday being here as opposed to Thursday, but we're making it work. We're making it work.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, because we had that discussion a couple of weeks ago, right? What, you know, from the additions since that episode, you know, Galladay has been signed, Williams has been signed from Tennessee, Danny Shelton's got on a 1 year. Now, Kyle Rudolph, I don't think we necessarily discussed it, but it's kind of ironic because I brought it up. Because I said as far as he had an injury-riddled history, and there was question marks about that. What was your thought? We'll bring on Kristen after this. Matter of fact, hold on, before you go in, Kristen, say hello to the people. How you doing? I know you already got your hands full with the Knicks and UConn.
Hi, everybody.
What's going on, Kristen? Hey, Kristen. Queen.
Hi, everybody.
Hey. Hello.
I'm in between watching the UConn game and listening to you guys. I'm sorry.
Oh, I believe it. I definitely believe it. They got some struggles with the Baylor Bears. They definitely do.
Yeah.
Hey, Carl, go ahead. Fire away, man. My question about that, and whatever you're going to add, I'm going to write all this down, and we go to Kristen, get her thoughts, and we'll make a fun dialogue. And what's your grade through this point, up until this point?
I would give the grade a C on that, and I'm doing it based on this sort of factor. You know, when you're not as good as a team, it leads you into making some decisions that you normally would not make monetarily or taking chances on guys on the hope that they can find some level of either past glory or untapped potential, right? So when you look at the two, I guess you can say major signings, the wide receiver who we talked about in the last show and the cornerback. So the wide receiver, if you look at how the wide receiver market played out, everybody else besides him got a contract which many would consider below what normal market value would have been, except for him. And so you can look at it from two perspectives, right? One, okay, you may think that the player that the Giants signed is a tremendous player. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. He was with Detroit for a couple of years, and his performance, let's just put it this way, it didn't, you know, set the world on fire. You then match up sort of like the desperation of needing what the Giants were seeking at the wide receiver position, and then you factor in money involved, and that's where you sort of get to the, okay, I know this guy only played 5 games last year, but we need somebody, and we're hoping that he can be a major player for us, which then leads to we're going to pay this guy far more than what the market was set to bear for a guy like him. On the cornerback side, it's basically the same thing. You know, Jackson has not played a full season 3 straight years running. Last year, he only played 3 games. But yet he is being signed by us under the hope that he can be the second cornerback that the Giants did not have. But also at the same point, you're paying him, you know, a pretty, you know, substantial amount of money for that position, hoping that he's going to be a full season player and not what he has been the previous 3 seasons. So you have a sort of a combination of like desperation, money, a player that's available, you put all of those factors together, and then that's where you get your signing. So when we're looking at it, one would say, oh, they improved the team. The question, I guess, now becomes how much is it really going to be improved based on the players that are involved and what we are paying for those players under the hope that they are going to be able to bring us the return on investment that we've been talking about. We've had that discussion for a couple of weeks now. Like, what will, can we get better returns on investment than we've gotten on previous signings, previous draft picks? And that is, you know, the hope in just crossing your fingers and seeing what happens.
All right, Krista, what's your thoughts on free agency up until this point for the Giants? What letter grade would you give it? What signings did you like or did not like?
Oh, my grade right now is a D. I just have a problem with the seasoned players. I have a problem with injuries. I have a problem with it's just like it's the same old song. Why are we just settling for scraps? Danny Shelton, okay. I mean, defensive tackle. I mean, he's not much to really write home about. What I'm concerned is an edge. That's what I need. So there's like, who is there? Mekhi Parsons. Also, I kind of like Mekhi, the linebacker from Penn State. Azeez, I like him too as an edge. We need something bad. We need an edge bad, and that's what I think. Wide
okay.
receiver, as far as wide receivers are concerned, are we talking about like Elijah mm-hmm. Moore and Jamar Chase, Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle? You know, Elijah Moore is probably going to go probably first round, most likely. So I don't know what that leaves us. You know, they're all decent. I mean, I would like Elijah Moore, but I don't think that's going to happen. But that's it. I think we just have a D. We have to do this all over again with new guys. And I always talk about meshing and everybody trying to gel. And it's so hard because there's new people now. Everybody's like, it can't be easy. It can't be. Trying to fit all these pieces. We have extra pieces that I don't think we really need, but whatever. But I don't know. I just give it a D overall.
Okay. Well, let me ask you one more thing before we go to meeting and go back to the car. What about, are you cool with the Galladay signing, John Ross? What was your thoughts as far as the wide receivers that were added?
Yeah, Galladay, I like him. I do like him. He's got good hands. I think that's a good pick. I like him myself. So I think that was a good pick.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? But remember, Mekhi didn't play 2020. Didn't he opt out of I think he opted out of the 2020 season, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. With the Penn State, I mean, the Big Ten,
yeah,
man, they got off to a late start.
The
whole damn conference damn near opted out.
Really. Right. So, you know, we're only going on what he did in 2019 concern. But I do kind of like him, too. I mean, 52 solo tackles. He had 109 tackles. Five passes defensed. 14.5 tackles for a loss. 5 sacks. Not bad in 13 games. That's not bad. We'll have to wait and see. We're always on a wait and see, it feels like. It's the same thing year after year. We just have to sit back and wait and see. Hopefully Judge can pull something out of his hat. But, you know, the guys believe in Judge. They're still talking very highly of him. And we just hope to God he does the right thing with everybody.
All right. Shout out to Kristen. Thank you very much. You know, this looking at the acquisitions, actually, Carl, I thought you would have been a little more – I thought you would have been a little more harsher. I'll take a C from Carl, man. You know, I was actually thinking along the lines of C+, B-, and the B- is a peak point if there's more acquisitions to be made before final rosters and all that. But through this free agency period, when you add a Galladay, watch a couple of games, you know, Lions games over the years, he's a physical receiver. My question is not necessarily Galladay's game. It's the guy that's getting him the ball, because Matthew Stafford has the ability to be unorthodox to get guys on his team the ball that I don't see our quarterback necessarily getting him the ball. On the wide receiver route. So I don't see Galladay as a number one receiver on paper makes, you know, it sounds good. It's really make or break for the quarterback that we have. Nonetheless,
well, that's
he needed a wide receiver. Somebody was saying something?
Well, Steve, that's a big part of that. Yeah, Steve, you make a great point there. You know, Galladay is going, you know, when you look at what he did in Detroit, I don't necessarily know if he's going to a better situation offensively than the one he had, especially with the guy throwing him the ball.
Well, Jared Goff this year, Jared Goff now in Detroit, Matthew Stafford, you know, they were traded for each other. So if we're talking about last year, I think arm strength and is just quarterback play at Matthew Stafford over Daniel Jones for me. But it's almost like you kind of have to factor that into the equation. But nonetheless, the Giants needed to address the number one wide receiver. You heard what I said last time we were on here. Golden Tate, quote unquote, on paper was supposed to be the number one wide receiver, but the two seasons that he was here, he could never get on the field for the first four games. Like it said, not to say that he was going to be this big deal breaker on the field. Nonetheless, just the fact that he's not even showing up. Like hopefully, if Galladay doesn't fail any tests, get suspended for the first four games, we don't see none of that crap like we seen on the Golden Tate. Like just availability alone gives me a little bit of hope. But then I also have to remind myself number eight is still back there. And what kind of growth? I mean, it was really no excuses adding John Ross. Litt talked about it last week. Oh, not last week, but the last time we were on, as far as a guy who is a big deep threat, a speedster, a guy who's going to make sure that safety is always over the top. So Galladay, in theory, if you play a lot of these cover two defenses and pretty much a lot of these teams that are like that in the NFL, we should have some good one-on-one coverage. Off, you know, theoretically, Galladay on one side, Ross on the other side. Maybe, yeah, I don't want to say his name. I want to hear the dogs bark. But you know what I'm talking about. The other guy playing tight end for us should be able to, whoever, if it's Rudolph, if he happens to stay on the roster, you know, injuries, if they clear him or whatever, Galladay should have some matchup opportunities if number eight could get him the ball. So that is a big part of it. But nonetheless, the Giants needed to address it. I'm kind of glad they did it in free agency. Agade is a physical receiver. He's not a speedster. He has good hands. He'll take a hit. But the problem is, you know, he's so physical that if he takes a hit, he can, you know, he can be injury prone. Now, Carl, I want to say this to you, actually, Kristen, you too. I got the vibe from football fans, NFL fans, about Galladay's situation in Detroit. You know, a couple of Lion fans, I was conversing with them, getting a little bit more perspective, because honestly, you know, I don't study the Lions like I study the Giants, like we study the Giants. I mean, I watch all the games, but I don't necessarily study the Lions. However, the feedback from Lion fans as far as how Galladay was playing it under the Matt Patricia season and how that all went sour, like he kind of like, I would have say faked it, but he kind of sat on the shelf purposely so he could be prepared as far as this time in the period so he could get picked up elsewhere. Well, like that's why Cincinnati was entertaining it. The Giants was entertaining it. So I'm happy that we addressed number one receiver. I look at it like that. I'll go through all the other signings as well. Hey, matter of fact, Carl, we could go back to the Jackson signing. Like I said, like I didn't even see him a lot last year and he was injured, you know, that return on investment key of what you said, Carl, is so important because it's like a gamble. Now, the question is, it's really a two-part question for you, Carl and Kristen, as far as Jackson. Do you think he will be able to stay healthy, stay on the field with his availability? And number one, that's number one. Number two, do you think if he doesn't, does it hurt the Giants? Is he even better than Isaac Yeadon, who played a lot of that number two corner last year? Like, how do you think this? I mean, it's a hard question to answer because it's about projection. do you think it's going to work out is probably the ultimate question. What's your thoughts on that, Carl, as far as the number that the cornerback situation? You throw Bradbury, you throw Jackson, you have Darnay Holmes in the slot, you have Julian Love at safety, and you got McKinney coming back. I mean, that's a nice secondary if all healthy. What's your thoughts on that, Carl?
The problem with relying on a guy who hasn't been healthy three straight years is – you know, you're just almost waiting for the moment when a hamstring, a leg. I have to go through and find out all of his specific injuries that had kept him out the last three seasons. But just that alone, like if I told you the Giants were signing fill-in-the-blank player to play a key role on the team, but he's been injured and not played a full season three straight years, you probably would say, "Wait, really? They're gonna go out and sign that player?" Like if that, without knowing the guy's name, not knowing anything about him in the past, like if I just put that sort of like picture in your mind, like would you pursue that particular player? I'd say out of every 10 Giant fans you would ask, I bet you 7 of them would say no. But again, it goes back
to
that.
Can I ask
whole,
you a question on that?
Yeah.
Here's another thing about this particular signing. Because they had the secondary guys like Peppers, Logan Ryan, especially Logan Ryan was leading the charge, like the current Giant players, you know, flying them out. They're pretty much whining and dining him to come. And Logan Ryan is a guy who's played with him for 3 years, his first 3 years in Tennessee. It seemed kind of over the top for even NFL players to go to bat for a guy who's not been available like that. Like, I wonder what was the thought process like who signed up, like who made that? Did the management? Do you think, or I don't know if anybody would ever admit it, the management tell the current Giant players in the secondary to go after him, to go wind it down, or do the players know his ability and they gathered around, or Logan Ryan specifically who's played with him, like I know this dude's capabilities, injured or not, we need this guy. Let's go get him. Like, what do you think was the thought process on the Giants side to go entertain him?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think management, when they pursue players, are swayed necessarily by players like referring, you know, sort of like the refer, like, hey, you guys got to sign this guy. Unless you're maybe Tom Brady, perhaps. So I don't think that pretty much factored into it. He likely was the most talented guy available, but he had the injury history behind, you know, as part of the buyer beware sort of thing. So you factored that in, the talent, the need. Okay, a couple of good words from a couple of players. Okay, maybe that's like 5% of the equation, and then you just, you know, you do your evaluations, you weigh that against, okay, well, what's the other option? Like, the alternative option likely would have been drafting a cornerback in the first round of the draft, right? And given those two options, you would then weigh that and say, okay, let's make this move and just hope for the best.
All right. Now what about other things? Go ahead.
What? Oh, yeah. I was going to pose this to both you, Kristen, and anybody else that jumps on the line tonight, because I forgot to mention this when we were first chatting, when we were talking about the offensive signings. Ask yourself this question. I'll pose it to anybody, actually, that would like to answer this. Are the Giants a better offense today than they were at the start of the 2018 season? It hit me when these signings were coming about last week. And I don't know the answer to that, and I'd like to see if anybody else, if you just look at the names, compare the names that started on opening day. I was there that day, opening day. I think you were there as well, Steve, as well, when they played Jacksonville that very first game, 2018. And compare the names of who was starting that day to the names that are starting 3 years later. And ask yourself if the team has improved from that day to now, that offense.
I got to look at the roster. Let's see. Who was on that roster, the 2018? So Eli was still on the roster. So – quarterback.
The quarterback was Eli. The running back was a fresh, newly minted Saquon. Odell.
Better than injured. Barkley. Do we think fresh Barkley is going to be better than the injured version of Barkley?
I think that 2018 newly minted, like right out the shop, right out the dealership, compared to torn whatever, and missing, you know, a season and a half basically compared to what was before. 88 from then till now. Shepherd from then to now. I mean, it's most of the, if you look at the sort of the headliners, most of the really the only real change is just changing out Odell for Galladay. And then all the other factors of the rest of the guys. But pretty much, and of course the quarterback, obviously, the offensive line is still kind of the same question mark today as it was 3 years ago. So I'm trying to figure out, it hit me that when I thought about it the other day, when this was coming up, I said, boy, have things changed dramatically from then to now? And I don't know the answer to that.
Let me think about that. We're going to do a tale of the tape. Let me think about that. If Chris... Kristen, if you want to add on with your thoughts as far as the other signings, the other side, you mentioned Danny Shelton. A guy's been around. That's a guy we loved when he was coming out of college. We talked about him years ago. He's been on some winning teams. Got a couple of Alabama guys, Reggie Ragland and Ryan Anderson. And I think that's more of a Joe Judge familiarity signing as well. Because of his tenure of those times with Nick Saban, I think that's where a lot of that comes from. But Chris, anything else you would like to add? You know, from the signings, the cornerback, the second. Are you excited about the secondary right now? What are your thoughts? Anything else with the wide receivers? And Carl's question as far as comparing that 2018 roster to today.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the 2018 roster, Eli Apple and Vernon and Penny and Geno Smith and Solder and Ogletree. And I don't know. That's a very good question. It's like, I think we're like maybe a little bit better. I'm hoping. And like Steve said before, everything looks great on paper. Stats look fantastic. I used to be a big stat person. And now it's like it really doesn't matter what you did. We got to see how you are with us. I know how you are with Detroit, or I know how you are with Miami, wherever you come from. We got to see how you gel with us. That's the big question. And can everybody stay healthy? But I think we have a good rotation of guys. I really do. I think we have a better rotation of guys that, God forbid somebody does get injured, we do have a second man that'll come in and do the job. I hope so. We hope. You know, we're still on a hope and pray basis. You know, we got to see and see how it goes. See how they all mesh together. But, yeah, that's a really good question, Carl. I don't know. I don't know. I think we might be a little bit better. But like I said, we have to see how everybody is.
Offensively, no, Carl, that is a good question, man. I don't know if we are, but it depends where you're asking. Overall, like you said, Barkley coming fresh out of college versus Barkley is coming out of the auto shop now with the ACL. Obviously, I'm taking the Barkley fresh out of college, obvious reasons, right? That's a big difference because we don't know what Barkley we're going to expect. So you got to go fresh Barkley over injured Barkley or coming off an ACL injury Barkley. I will also say Beckham is better than Galladay. I would definitely go Beckham over Galladay, right? Shepherd at that time. No, you know, Shepherd is really tricky because he's always in and out of the lineup. That version of Shepherd versus – I actually like a little what I saw Shepherd of this past season. When he came off the injury. So that's really a hard – let me think about that Shepherd versus this version is the Shepherd. But as far as the tight end position, it's still the same. You know, you still – you have that guy – I don't want to say his name. I don't want to hear the dogs right now. I'm not trying to hear the dogs, right? But you got
– E.E. 88. We'll just call him 88.
Yeah, right. 88. Yeah, that's 88. All. We'll call him 88. There you go. But you're right. We had – what we had just signed one Minnesota tight end, Rhett Ellison. Now we just came back and signed another Minnesota Viking tight end in Kyle Rudolph. It's right. hard to say. You know, just to be
that's
be,
the thing.
I'll say
that's
Kyle
the thing.
Rudolph
that's
by
the,
hair.
That's the scary. Right. That's the scary part about all this is that was four seasons ago.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And we just fast forwarded basically, you know, well, 3 years or yeah, 3.5 or 4 years, and it's like, wait a second. We're only kind of like marginally better than 4 years ago. Like that makes no sense to me.
Right.
But on the flip side, on the line, I think the line is definitely better than what it was then. I think some of the flashes what we saw with the offensive line last year with Shane Lemieux, Thomas got he started off very slow. He had his moments, but Pert when he came in was fine. You know, the center position could always be upgraded. I still like what we have at the offensive line now versus, you know, Eric Flowers was on that team, I believe. Solder had just came over from the Patriots, I think. I like our line a little bit better. I definitely do. I don't know what else other options that we could go as far as the combinations of guard or more so a tackle, because that's weird and that's something we're going to discuss all season. I would put our line better than not like light years ahead, but definitely I think it's better than that line. But you're right, Carl. I think the clear cut advantage was wide receiver then, and running back then, and quarterback then. Yeah, so I may have to say your 2018 roster on paper was better, but the line was better, and I think you have to play to your strengths. The Giants going to have to throw the ball, but they need to pound the rock. And because Barkley, they're going to have to get more help besides Booker, with the running back situation. I'm not convinced. You know, Gallman was a nice – he ran angry last year, Carl and Kristen. And to give up on that, yeah, the Giants going to have to still address a second running back, definitely. Carl, what about the – I mentioned it – you know, as far as the linebackers, Reggie Ragland, who's at Alabama, was a monster. You know, he got railroaded with injuries, right? I think he was on Detroit last year. Had spent some time in KC. Ryan Anderson was on Washington. These are Alabama type players. These are the guys that Joe Judge, I believe, is familiar with, and I think that's a lot of the reason why they're here. But to Chris's point, we still need an edge, and I think that's kind of going to be more of a draft situation, a draft, NFL draft, pick up on an edge rusher. But it seems like the Giants got a million linebackers now, but not necessarily a game changer. How do you feel about the linebacker court now? I mean, Blake Martinez, I know how you feel about him, but anything else you'd like to add on that?
You know, I still feel the same way. I think when you look at that position, it seems like there's almost like Carl Banks mentions it a lot, like an expectation for the position as opposed to guys that we have that can go out and make, you know, gigantic, game-changing, turn the game around, plays. We seem to just have guys that can play the position. It's probably the best way I can frame it. You know, outside of Martinez, who played very well last year. I saw they redid his contract a little bit as well to free up some money. But I think everybody else are just, you know, they're just kind of guys. They're not. What's the best word I can use for this? You know, they're not game changers. You know, if you put it this way. If a better option came available to replace any of the other guys, you take them. You take the better option compared to what we have. Did the players play well in the roles that they had last season? They played moderately well. But if you ask me, if you could find somebody that can, you know, just be an outright dominant, you know, clear upgrade in the draft or even in free agency, you probably couldn't find it in free agency either, but you know, the draft is probably the best place you can find it. I would easily upgrade the position if possible.
I agree. Kristen, anything else you would like to add as far as the acquisitions, you know, this free agency period? Because you gave it a D. You've been – the most crucial professor of us on this platform tonight. Anything else you'd like to add is on this free agency?
Well, you know what? It comes down to our quarterback, too. We need a captain and we need a leader, and we still don't have it. And I keep saying this over and over. And just like Carl said, we don't have any stunners. We don't have anybody that's, okay, they're like a Mariano Rivera. You put him in, he's a sure thing. He could close out the game, no problem. We don't have anybody like that. That's what scares me. But Daniel Jones, I hope to God that he's working on his game because he needs to. It's got to be different than last season. You've got to. We've got to see growth. This rookie crap is over with. It's old. It's tired. He's no longer a rookie. So let's just get on with it and play your position and do what you are supposed to be doing. Getting guys the ball. Now we've got the coverage. The defense is not going to be the issue. We got to get the offense popping. We got to be aggressive on offense. We've got to get things happening. And he's got to be able to do it. Yeah, you can't always roll out. I get it. But you got to think on your feet. He's run before. He's gotten out of the pocket before. Some games he doesn't. Some games he has like Eli tendencies. He kind of just stands still. You want him to move, and he won't move. So I just want to see growth with him more than anything, and I think things will be better. I hope.
Well, definitely. Because, you know, it's really crazy to me because I think I heard something over the weekend, Carl and Kristen, as far as John Mara saying – yeah, Carl, I think you're probably going to hurl when you hear this, or you probably did hear the quote from John Mara himself. Along the lines, paraphrase, I should have got the sound bite for it. I didn't, I just totally forgot. But maybe I'll have it next time for the stakeholder mock draft. Saying John Mara thinks Danny Dimes or Daniel Jones is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Now, before we all jump the gun, we all know it took Eli his fourth season to get to it. So Daniel Jones is going to his third. But this is really a make or break for me. I think we all see it. This is nothing. What I'm about to say is nothing surprising. This is definitely make or break for me, for Daniel Jones, and I think pretty sure 95% of the fan base. But to say that he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback, I mean, I'm a little appalled that the owner would say that. I don't know if it's for clicks and likes or for appraisal or fake appraisal. I don't know, man. Cap'n, Carl, I mean, did you hear that from John Mara as far as like, you see in the offseason where no quarterback is untouchable. Like, when you have Russell Wilson kind of being on a chopping block, Deshaun Watson, despite his other issues, we're not going to get into that, chopping block, Matthew Stafford traded for Jared Goff, Carson Wentz traded to Indianapolis. You have a bunch of quarterbacks around the league just going, Ryan Fitzpatrick going to Washington, you know, to say that as if, like, nobody is in touch, but that is crazy to me coming from the owner. Just to even say that he's a Super Bowl-winning quarterback where we can't even necessarily remember him. I mean, honestly, I would even call it a big game. Like, the biggest game I can recall him winning was his debut where we were all at. And that's not necessarily a big game. That was just the first game we won that year, week three, 2 years ago. Because, yeah, what was your thoughts if you did hear that or just hear what I'm saying as far as what Mara said, paraphrasing about Daniel Jones?
Okay, so I'm looking at how this was worded. So the question is posed to him by a reporter or the guy that wrote the column, Ian O'Connor, very good writer. I got a couple of his books here as well. So he posed the question to Mara. He says, quote, "How good is this roster right now?" And Mara responds by saying, "I think our roster is good enough to make the playoffs." Then the next question comes and where it's asked, "Do you believe Daniel Jones looks like a quarterback who will ultimately win a Super Bowl?" And he responds by saying, "Yes, he does. I can say that without any hesitation. Good enough to win Super Bowls like this, like his predecessor Eli Manning? I don't see why not if we put the right pieces around him." Okay, so when I read it in text like that, doesn't sound terrible. So I think, because what I saw on TV sounded something different than what I was hoping I was going to read. So as I read it now for the first time in that context, fine. If he wants to go and say that, you know what? He actually has to say that because any other answer would be a complete indictment of what has gone on here.
I was just about to say that, Carl.
Yeah. So, and here's the thing, and I think we may as well put this out right now and establish this here, because from today, from the time you read that until September, what you are going to read online, what you're going to see on television, what you're going to see in the newspaper is from what I refer to as state TV, from what you people get paid by the Giants. You will hear this drumbeat about the quarterback for the next 6 months, about how he is in the weight room, he is improving, he's studying, he's coming in day to day, in the morning at 5 in the morning, he's leaving at 9 o'clock at night, he's talking to his teammates. You are going to hear this drumbeat every day until the start of the next season. Guaranteed. Lock it up. And it's all designed under the framework that that they have to put this narrative out there, because in the event that they don't, then all of a sudden the pressure is then going to ratchet up to replace him. Now, as you said, Steve, they have the decision has to be made by the end of the season. You know why? Because you don't want to get in what I refer to now as Dak Prescott territory. And that is, you don't pay the guy after 3 years like everybody else does now, and then you are basically sort of playing the long game out, and then eventually when the bill comes due, you pay more than you wanted to pay initially. So you have to decide whether or not you're going to pay him for his fifth year after this year. So that's why this everything is sort of linked to this season being the year that either it gets done or you better figure something else out. I don't. It makes zero sense to me to sort of ride this all the way out to the end. I think my guy, I forgot the gentleman's name a couple weeks ago from a Big Blue Huddle where he was mentioning about how the Giants, you know, are just going to stick with him for a long time. I said, wait a second. You know, the math, the dollars suggest that you have to make a decision on this sooner than later. You don't just wait till the expiration date runs out and say, okay, I guess we'll have to do this. Like, that decision sort of has to be made in advance.
Right.
And that's why we need to find out the answers this season or start making an exit plan right when the final game of the 2021 season is concluded.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. I would give him up to the end of the season, and that's it. This is his season to shine. So if he can't get it together in his third season in, then it's not going to happen. People blame coaching.
Right,
is it the coaching? Is it this? Is it, you know, I think it's everything. I think it's a little bit of everything. But for, you know, yes, I agree. Mara has to say that. What is he going to say? His quarterback sucks? I hope to God he's not a friggin' idiot like he was last year. He's not supposed to say that. He's supposed to big him up. I mean, okay, I give it to him, but a Super Bowl is a little far-fetched right now, the way we're looking. You know, we can't really look at paper right now. We can't do that right now. We have to see them practice. We have to see them play, period, together. And let's see. Hopefully Danny has got his stuff together this year. I really hope to God he does, because this is it. I mean, this would be his last year. This is it. Sink or swim.
This team,
no,
man.
If you don't know,
I learned today another thing today too, man. This team, man.
That's what I wanted to hear from Merrick. I forgot, were we talking about that on this episode? Or I can't remember what episode, for what sport, we were talking about which the owners could cave the 100. See, the owners don't want to lose that revenue. I get it, because you got to play the politically correct game. I wish we could have Mara or somebody. Like, shit, hell, get them in. Fuck it, you know? Like, if we could get honest answers. Like, if we had Gettleman on, get Gettleman in the same room with Kristen and, like, Carl, just ask the questions,
oh my
man. You know?
God.
Like, come on, man. Like, I really think that Daniel Jones.
There better not be any furniture in that room.
This is off the record. It's on the people show. It's on the record, right? Off the record. He give us his honest answer. He'll say something along the lines like, man, we botched that, man. You know, like, nah. would love to hear it real talk one day, Carl. Like that day's got to come in by the time at the end of our lifetimes, Carl. Like Mara had
well,
to say what
I mean,
he said.
I mean, I'm hoping. I mean, I wish he would have pushed back on the question of does he believe this team is a playoff team. He said yes. Now,
yeah.
He probably could have just said, I would hope so. I mean, considering that they've lost 10 games in a row, at least the late, was it 4 years running now? Like,
right.
Now, I don't know. Now, maybe he thinks they can win the division and make the playoffs at 7-9, like Washington did last year. Maybe that's what he meant by making the playoffs. But, you know, that, from that standpoint, I'm like, I'm hoping he doesn't really internally believe that he has a quote-unquote playoff roster currently constructed as it stands today. That would make, to me, you know, just based on past performance, that statement on its own just can't be justified.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Let me go back to this, and then we can get to some other points before we get off. My other part of my grade is like the peak part of it as far as B minus. I can't not negate. We talked about this when it happened 2 episodes ago. Leonard Williams, I think that was an important signing. Brian from the Big Blue Huddle, that's what you were talking about, Carl, when he came on. I think retaining him, and for the fact that we talked about that situation, trading him for the draft equity, and then also franchise tagging him, like you had to make a deal and get something out of that. It would have been all of a waste. And the fact they pulled the trigger, that actually goes into my grade. And I thought he had an excellent year. I just hope he doesn't take a step back after taking the money. But let's see if that does not happen with Leonard Williams. He played phenomenal, had phenomenal spots. He had some bonehead penalties, though. But nonetheless, his play was pretty good. I'm glad that the Giants signed him. That's part of the reason why I cannot forget that. Now, to your point, Kristen, as far as Danny Shelton, yeah, like definitely. This is definitely a downgrade for Tomlinson. Now, but here's the whole – you're giving the take. Are you, Carl, were you willing to give up a Dalvin Tomlinson so you can upgrade at your number one wide receiver? Get rid of Tate, get a Galladay. I would probably say yeah. I would probably go that route knowing you still have Dexter Lawrence in your back pocket who could play D tackle as well, probably his better strength than that DN. So, the whole X factor is the Jackson health. If that pans out, and this is all optimism because I hate that we have to play it like that. If that pans out, then I would think this free agency was average to a little bit above average. It would work out. So I would – my whole point of saying this, Carl and Kristen, I am willing to sacrifice Dalvin Tomlinson to get a Galladay in here and another cornerback for a rotational, pretty decent tenure defensive tackle in Danny Shelton to replace Dalvin Tomlinson, knowing I have Dexter Lawrence in my back pocket. I think that is not too bad. You have a lot of piecemeal linebackers, not necessarily on feeling, but I'm going to still be patient, and I'll probably get back to the drawing board. Me personally, when we get to our stakeholder drive in a couple of weeks, how I think the Giants can attack by need, by value, for the full 7 rounds in the NFL draft in 2021 in Ohio. Carl, anything else? You want some final thoughts from you, sir? You take your time, man, as much as you want. On this, you know, if you have any plans for the pro days, you're watching anything, guys, you want to look out for as far as scouting for the Giants, any acquisitions? What was your thoughts on, you know, the Kyle Rudolph situation with his, you know, that didn't necessarily go too well, right, with the injury? And that's kind of like, what the hell was that, you know?
You know, that was interesting when it happened because I think it was the day after we had talked about it on the show. The next day, all of a sudden, you read about, oh, there's a snag in the signing because of a previous injury, and I was like,
right.
You got to be kidding me. But I thought that. But I was like, let me give it a day or two here, and I guess they figured all that out. I think Rudolph probably should have been. He probably should have retired. But hey, if someone's going to pay him some dollars for the next 2 seasons, you know what? I'll come out of retirement myself. Because it looked like the Vikings were basically putting him in semi-retirement as it was. As we say goodbye here, it seems like, you know, there is, you know, I think we're all hoping, but I think we've gotten to the point now where the idea of wait and see, as Kristen was mentioning, and the idea of hope. Like, how about some results business? Let's stop with the, well, we'll have to wait and see what happens. Because you know who does that? Bad teams. Like, teams with reasonable expectation can at least say, you know what? This is the year where this is going to happen. There is no wait and see. There is no, well, if everything goes right. No, I think it's now a fair expectation that as we go into the fourth year of this quote-unquote process, rebuild, whatever word you want to attach to this, where we should be able to reasonably expect some tangible results. No more 6-10, no more 4-11, or 4-12, no more of that. You know what? If you think you're a better team than whoever the best team in the division is right now, and I don't know who that is, you know what? Go do it. Go win the 9 games that you're probably going to need. Make the playoffs. If you lose after that, fine. But I think it is a reasonable expectation to put this team in the framework where no more wait and see, no more excuses. And the smart people that are better than me, which are the betting lines, the sports book, still has the Giants at third place, which tells me that the signings that they've made have not really moved the needle at all for anyone that bets money on this stuff, which has me very, very concerned that perhaps we're talking ourselves into an idea that might not actually be true in terms of how much we've actually improved.
One more point. I forgot to mention this. I had it written down, Carl. And Christian, feel free to fire away. And this is somewhat more important because we talked about earlier the 2018 roster versus now. Now, I get it, business-wise, Zeitler had to go, right, at right guard. But you brought in Zach Fulton, who, okay, you see that he's played a lot of games down in Texas, right, down in Houston for the Texans. But pass blocking is a severe downgrade. Like, I thought they were going to, you know, go to Will Hernandez, Shane Lemieux route, where Shane Lemieux is going to be a rotational. Why I don't know. Competition is everything, Carl. At right guard, if you're really going to plug in a Zach Fulton at right guard, Danny Garcia, like his boxing. Danny Jones is going to be running for his life or fumbling all day because Zach Fulton pass blocking is a severe downgrade. And that signing was a real head scratcher to me. I mean, it may look like death. Now, if he's a backup, that's one thing. But to sign a guy like that, what was your thoughts on that, man? Like, is Will Hernandez that much in the doghouse? Because Shane Lemieux, when he came in, played a lot of left guard. But Shane Lemieux was a big time, you know, played very well at right guard when he was at Oregon. What was your thoughts as far as the guard situation? And then we get Christmas final thoughts.
So basically, is Fulton basically the next like Patrick Omame? Is that essentially what was going on here?
it could be that.
Well, that's the thing. You know, and that's
that.
Why.
Wasn't he on that roster too?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he was.
He started some of the games, and by halfway through the season, he was released.
That is terrible. Oh, God. Wow.
He was brought in to help fix the line and the rebuild, mm-hmm. and that lasted about six or seven games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So are you comfortable with the guard situation? I mean, they always got to compete, right? Hopefully, right? I mean, you know, I like Shane Lemieux, but Will Hernandez too, but how is this going to work?
I am not confident in any one player on the Giants' offensive line going in the next season. Not one. There is not a player that we can name today that we can reasonably expect an above average level of performance when 2021 starts. That is part of the issue that is clouding this entire roster because, you know, for as much as we talk about the quarterback, you know what? He can't do anything when he's running for his life. He can't do anything on his back. He can't do any, you know, he's already, as we've seen for the first 2 years, is the guy that gets hurt on already. So if this offensive line is going to be, you know, and the metrics say that, you know what, the Giants were bottom half again last season. They gave up more sacks last year than they did the year before, which is crazy. You know, if that's going to be part of the equation here, then, man, can we get, can we, can we fix this thing once and for all? It seems like we've been talking about it for like the last like 10 years now.
Right on. The C Notes on Twitter, ladies and gentlemen. Shout out to Carl, man. Thank you very much, Carl, man. Kristen, your final thoughts, and then we'll wrap up. And we'll be back, like I said, in 2 weeks for the full stake holding my job. I forgot to put my notes together for that. Kristen, final thoughts.
I'm holding on to my D. I'm holding on to my grade. It's just, we just have to see. I mean, we've got to be better. We've got, not by one game either. We can't just win by just one more game this year. We can't do it. It's just mediocre everything. Mediocre everything. There's nothing that wows us. There's nobody to take the lead. So I just hope somebody steps up. I don't care who it is. Like I said a couple of weeks ago, I don't care if it's offense, defense, quarterback. It could be a corner. I don't care. Somebody's got to take the wheel in order to win. That's it. Somebody's got to take charge. And that's what we need. We need a leader out there. And we can't even say Saquon is going to be it because we can't. It's a shame that we can't. It's a shame that that kid never had a chance to really shine. It's sad. So we just have to see what we got this year. I hope he's bigger and better, and I hope he's stronger, and I hope he's not going to, you know, baby that leg and be timid because a lot of players end up doing that. You know, it's a hard injury to come back from. So I hope everything works out, and I just hope to God that DJ's got a good head on his shoulders this time and we can get the job done. That's it.
Yeah, we have the entire 2021 offseason to psychoanalyze Daniel Jones and really figure this out if it is or if it isn't going to work, progression. We have a lot of time. So getting up to the draft is in a month from now. All right, 2 weeks from now, we'll have the stakeholder mock draft, full 7 rounds. So that will give us about 14 days. 17 days from this episode. Shout outs to Carl at the C Notes and, of course, Kristen. Oh, yeah, one more thing before we go. Shout outs to Robbie at Everything NYG. At Everything NYG Madness podcast on Anchor. Check it out. I know Robbie's going to tackle some of the things for this from the free agency signings and also the draft, the prospects, stuff like that. So check it out on anchor.com. Shout out to Robbie. Want to give him a good plug on that. He's done a lot of good things for shouting out Carl and myself and everybody else on Twitter on his platform. And want to give him respect where respect is due. We'll be back, man. Thank you guys, Carl and Kristen, are coming on. Swapping days with the baseball season opener, Kristen and Carl. We got the Yankees, man. You got to get a World Series, so we swapped with the baseball. Baseball will be Thursday after the game.
Yeah, I'm happy baseball.
Happy birthday.
Okay, what did you say? I didn't hear you.
Oh, happy birthday, Steve.
Oh, shit. I'm like, what? I'm birthday another 363
that's
days
you.
Now. What? Thank you. I thank everybody for the shout outs, man. You know, all I ask, for the teams, for the sports, we all connect, man. The love was overwhelming, man. I thank y'all for that, man. But, man, shit, what we do for here, for this platform, man, we do it for everybody, man. So I try to include everybody, get perspective, so it makes it for a good listening, so on and so forth. So we'll be back on April 15th to talk stakeholder mock draft. That's probably my favorite episode, that because it makes me do a lot of homework. And this one's a little bit more challenging because I didn't study as much as I should or would have in the past several years on college football. I only watched primarily two conferences because a lot of the conferences were out. So I am way behind my notes on that. But we'll talk about it on April the 15th. Shout out to Carl. Shout out to Kristen. BBU Show, BBUShow.com.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.